Welcome, dear listeners and fellow K-drama lovers, to your favorite critical K-drama podcast, the K-drama Feuilleton podcast, with me, Max Su, and my lovely co-host, Sally. In this episode, we are discussing the hot new Netflix drama, The Glory Part 1. This revenge drama was highly anticipated and definitely delivered. Among reviewing the drama and its characters, we also touch upon topics such as school violence, female perpetrators or bullies, and reverse Confucian filial murder. Enjoy, everyone!
Welcome, 여러분!
Hello everyone, welcome.
Welcome to the K-Drama Feuilleton podcast, your critical K-Drama podcast. We are back in the new year.
And after a long break, we finally got together with a new, very recent drama that we will today discuss.
It's hot out of the oven, I would say. It's the Glory, which was quite anticipated, I think. Netflix Studio Dragon Corporation production, which very sadly...
And many people in my surrounding watched it, I think. Yeah, so I heard a lot about it and you recommended it to me too.
Yeah, so. Another friend of mine as well, she who watches K-Drama was like, oh, have you watched The Glory? It's like amazing. La-di-da. But I didn't know when I started watching it that... it's in two parts. Otherwise, I think I might have reconsidered watching it.
Waited for watching the series in May, March. And it's, the other part is coming out in March.
It's just so annoying. I'm really upset with this. It's like typical Netflix. You know, they're going on the market. They start all what's like, oh, yeah, we do like one season K-dramas. Nothing will change. And then... boom, there you have it. K-drama in two parts, 3 months apart. Like, that's complete bullshit. Oh, it's just really upsetting. It was the same with Alchemy of Souls. It's like...
ah, yeah, right.
It's just...
My flatmate was also waiting for the new Alchemy of Souls. But I think for her, she doesn't watch that many K-dramas, but she said for her, it's kind of normal, right, in American TV shows to wait. So I think for the new generation of K-drama watchers who already accessed most of the dramas through Netflix, they...
It's so wrong, though.
Don't really Because
I think one of the main, like, one of the big points why I started loving K-drama so much is because you didn't have to, you know, wait for a second season or a third season or a fourth season to get like that resolution, that kind of complete story arc. Like, you just had it all. And so you knew when you invested 16 hours or like at least 16 hours, you would get some sort of ending and you can move on to the next drama. And it's not like, I don't know.
Maybe the good thing about it is that we don't watch it all in one sitting, you know, that we have some healthy breaks in between. Because I was watching these 8 episodes within 2.5 days or 3 days, and it wasn't very good. I had a lot of sleep deprivation.
I know. It's felt like I did the same, to be honest. But, you know, there's also some joy in that. You don't always have to be healthy and productive. You can also be a bit crazy and binge it. But then that's what they kind of want you to do, don't they?
But then I prefer these short dramas that only have like 6 episodes and only like 30, 40 minutes. I think this one also had only like 45, 50 minutes episodes, right? Mm. I think it was a bit shorter than normal.
It was 10, and it was like 10 episodes, sure. Right?
I think it was 8.
Oh, it was only 8. There you go.
So it will be 8, I think.
That's 16, right? right, okay. Well, you know, the Netflix rant is over. We have all accepted. We're going to have to wait. There's nothing we can do about it. We might, you know, we might start a petition.
We can watch some other stuff in between.
But I think, you know, if they do that again, which they probably will, I think we should consider starting a petition and organizing all K-drama fans into, you know, pressuring.
You know, boycotting is very popular in in Korea, in Asia in general, I think. And it puts a lot of pressure on the companies to change their consumer politics strategies.
See, so I think we could learn something from that. Yeah.
If you remember these boycotts of Chinese companies when there was this China dispute, Korea-China
dispute. Yeah, a lot of dramas like died before they even hit, you know, were seen the light of the world because of protests and boycotts.
It would be sad for the actors and for all the people involved, though. Yeah, but
it's a lot of work.
If we want to change Netflix, we have to.
Yeah, but it's fine. Anyways, let's move on.
Anyways, okay. Well, so in these short 8 episodes, which we will can summarize actually quite quickly, I would say, the main character called Dongun is planning her revenge. And through flashbacks, we see how she was bullied as a student in high school.
Oh, more like
and
tortures.
Actually, the flashbacks go like on for all the time. Yeah,
I think I would even use the word like tortured. I always think like bullying is obviously a form of like torture and so on, but that was serious bodily harm. And I mean,
yeah, it was quite.
It's like methods in like in Guantanamo Bay. I could not really watch the first episode. Like I find it very difficult watching.
The first episode was the worst, and then I think
it's just a few.
Even in the later episodes, they made a few
flashbacks.
Like shorter flashbacks too. And I mean, there were the school bullies, which consisted of like 4, two girls and 2
boys,
men, student boys, students. And then there was also kind of the structural bullying by the school and the parents of
like
these
a lot of complicity.
Rich kids.
Yeah.
So one teacher was also, or like I think that it was the classroom home teacher, or what it's called.
I think it's translated as homeroom teacher.
A homeroom teacher, okay. Well, he also didn't do anything and even punished the victim, even like Dongun even more for
speaking
telling
out.
Him and bringing all these problems on him.
And her own mother as well.
Right. The mother, I think she kind of neglected her child even before the bullying, but with the bullying and then the compensation that is offered by the rich parents, she abandons her child completely and moves away and leaves her behind.
Yeah,
what is following then is kind of like the story and how she struggled to make her own living in the factory, which is also a very harsh environment, I think, for her. I mean, she was 18 and she was already of age, but then, she was not a minor anymore, but still she
was young. I think this whole thing of like people,
go through all that.
This whole thing of people suddenly being, you know, like considered grown-ups when they're 18, I think, to me, if I now look at 18-year-olds, it's ridiculous because they're like little babies. Like, honestly, and if I think back of me with 18, it's not like, you know, you suddenly grow up and you're like, oh, wow, you know. So I still think 18 is very, very young.
Of course. No, of course. I was just thinking because I thought she was underage.
Yeah.
And then working part-time at some illegally or something like that. But later it was said that she was already 18 at the time.
Actually, I remember.
I think because it was right 1 year before they graduated high school. They would have graduated high school.
I remember like also being surprised because I also thought she looked quite young, like in the whole first episode. So I thought also she might be like.
In the kimbap show.
She I thought she was like, 16 or something.
It seems like she was 16. Yeah, yeah exactly. That's what I thought.
But. she was 18, so at least she was legally able to work. I'm generally a very big fan of these big revenge dramas. I mean, this is just one big revenge plot, which I kind of love. It was like, I think around this time last year that Netflix published My Name, which is also like a big revenge drama, not in 2 parts though. Which I also quite enjoyed. I really like the vindictiveness and the kind of, you know, the passion she has in hating her perpetrators and wanting
long planned revenge. I mean, she planned it for like 15
very
years
long game, and yeah, it's like I really love that. It's a great.
As a teenager, my favorite book was The Duke of Monte Cristo. I think it's translated.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a French book about also revenge, and it's also very long term, over 20 years or so. And they all have like established their families and their businesses and careers, and then basically
hits. I think it's perfect.
So when they at the peak of the career,
when they have something to lose,
and when they're vulnerable, yeah, exactly.
I think,
and in this case too, yeah. So day later, after the 15 years passed, the main bully, Yeonjin, is I think the name, right? Yeonjin, and she has a career as a news announcer, has a rich husband who is supposedly CEO
some group,
of a big company, right? Yeah, and then she has a daughter called and she is now just attending school for the first year, right?
Yes, exactly. She's in elementary school. And like a kind of a very posh area where a lot of rich people live.
Yeah, it looked a bit like Bundang and reminded me of the place where I was living before. So like these
very,
villas.
Very nice place you lived there.
No, I was at another place. But on the way there, these pretty houses.
I mean, also to be honest, like these bullies, they're like, definitely a psychopath, like all of them. I mean, we already like in one episode spoke about like sociopaths and psychopaths, but like I mean they definitely have no scruples like whatsoever. They're quite scary people, and they're not like, you know, in some revenge dramas you think like, oh, you know, they've been bad when they were young and then they see what they've done wrong and they, you know, repent and regret or whatever. But in this case, luckily, they stay very evil.
I don't know.
Yeonjin?
I mean, some of them, right? I mean, the men. Yeonjin is not that evil, I
what?
Think. Is she?
She's like the main super
I mean, she is,
evil brain. Like,
she's like mean to her colleagues and like... But I didn't really see her as being bully, right? She didn't torture anyone at that time. I mean, she's not that
evil. No, man. Like, she was the brains of it all. Like, everyone was under her leadership. So while she didn't personally do it, like, all the others were just her little henchmen. But she was the brains of it. And she was the person who said, do this, do that, la, 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 la. And I think she's also portrayed as her main, she's the arch nemesis. The other ones are kind of part of it, but I feel Yeonjin is like the focus of her revenge.
Okay, you mean even in the past she was already this kind of leading figure, that's why.
Because I think...
For example, hitting and just like more stronger violence, it was always done by this kind of poorer guy who later is kind of subordinate of this other rich guy.
Yeah.
We have to look up that. Moon.
Jaejoon.
Myung-ho or something like that.
Poorer guy. No.
Yeah, he always does very brutal hitting.
Myung-ho is basically the poorer guy who did a lot of the hitting. Jaejoon is the kind of rich heir, the pretty one that cannot see colors very well. And then, Yeonjin is the head of the whole gang. Because also then she says, when she like drops out of school and then she walks one last time into the gym to kind of face her bullies, and then she informs Yeonjin of, you are now my dream. So my dream is your revenge, like revenge on you personally. So I do think there is like a clear focus on Yeonjin as the
revenge on
the main perpetrator. And like that woman definitely has a like massive problem. I mean, everything's calculated, everything's...
I think they try to portray her life as this kind of perfect life. That's why she wasn't she didn't seem as evil in the present. But probably you're right. She still had the affair with this other guy, and she had the illegal child. I mean, this kind of moral or lies that she told everyone, basically.
And so she's just very manipulative, I think. And while, you know, she might not, and like it is insinuated that she actually killed Myung-woo in the end, the henchman. So
we don't know yet.
Yeah, but it seems like, from what was shown, it seems likely, like with her scratch on her foot and that little scene where Myung-woo just like falls to the ground dead and then a woman walks out.
That's why she had this scratch. I was like, I was not sure about
this. Yeah, it was only a very small hint, so it's easy to miss, I think. But I thought about, because the scratch was shown like a few times.
A few times.
And I think it's kind of...
I was like, huh, why is this important suddenly?
Yeah, because... so like, yeah, because wondering. I think Myung-woo basically was played by Dong-un. Yeah, so Myung-woo was played by her to kind of blackmail the killer of So-hee. Or that other kind of mobbing victim before her who was killed rather than killed herself. And after he... kind of went to the perpetrator, which we don't know what she told him. He went missing, basically was killed.
And the body also went missing, right? I mean, or is...
He just completely disappeared.
That was also one of the last scenes.
And it was, I think, and it's kind of part of the Dong-un revenge scheme that she was... wanting basically for the perpetrator to reveal herself through how she acts when she's blackmailed with this murder. Because
That's what she tells the helper, right? I mean, we haven't really talked about their relationship yet. I also didn't really understand it exactly. Yeah. Like, how did she suddenly collaborate with
the plastic surgeon?
The woman.
You know what?
I mean, she kind of blackmailed her, but then also she was like, okay, I will help you with everything you need, basically. To like the 24 hours watch off everyone.
Hyun-nam is her name in the drama. And she's the actress who always plays the mom. Like, she's the mom actress. Like, in so many dramas, she's the kind of cool, hardworking.
Yeah, I don't think that's the same one.
Oh, yeah, I think so. Uncanny Counter, she plays the mom in It's Okay to Not Be Okay. She plays the mom, at least in my head. She's always the mom.
Okay, I haven't noticed that.
And but anyways, in this case, she's also a mom, but she becomes... So she's basically this woman who wants to, her husband to be killed because he's like... you know, abuses her and is very violent, and she gets like regularly beaten up by him quite violently. And she has a daughter as well that suffers obviously under this.
As well has a daughter.
Yeah. And so she wants basically the help of Dong-un to get rid of him. And Dong-un in return said, okay, I'll help you, but I'll also want you to work for me in helping me to spy on all these people and like get her the information she needs.
And she also pays her for that separately. Yeah. That's kind of like a contractor.
Exactly, like minimum wage.
Doing the dirty work.
Exactly. But I really love that relationship, actually. I think that's very cute.
It's interesting, I mean, that makes... these side characters make it a bit more tolerable. Otherwise, it would be very dark.
Yeah,
you know? I think the surgeon and also the emo, or what they call her. The
the helper. And then also that the other worker that she met in the factory that helps her with the social media. In on the plot.
She is doing the social media and also there's like travel agency or something, right? Yeah. So she can check their information. Yeah. Although I was like, why do they still book flights at the travel agency?
That's so true.
I mean, that's not very secretive.
That is very true, yeah. I'm not, I didn't actually think about that, but I think you have a point. But yeah,
because it was easily trackable for them now, like later on. If they would just book it with like anyways. But Yeonjin also, of course, she had some connection to the police, and she has like all the information. She can get all the information she wants anyway. So
it's very true. But I always find with these, like, I think also I agree that these side characters like make the drama kind of a bit more engaging or entertaining, because it also gives a little bit of it makes also the character of Dong-eun a little bit more believable and a little bit more complex, because otherwise I think it would be a bit hard to believe that a single person, single-mindedly,
that
like,
so,
you know, just
evil.
18 years, like, plots it all by herself, blah, 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 and I think these other characters show that she actually does care a little bit about other people. And
no, I don't know. Bit. Actually, like, if you're talking about her character now, I want to add some really weird things about her. I mean, of course, this like whole revenge thing, but then also approaching people at a very early time. I mean, I don't even know how she planned it, but this son of the teacher, she approaches him as this senior. She must have enrolled in the same university as this guy to make the kind of revenge thing later. So that
for
was
her
like,
teacher, homeroom teacher.
And it was not even necessary. It's not even necessary to make this teacher her friend, right? So I was like, okay, how is this all connected? But maybe there will be another like hidden plan later. But okay, that's really strange. And then this Baduk, the learning of this go, right? In English. That was so unnecessary as well. Like, if she wants to become close with her husband, there would be so many other options, probably. Like, why did she choose this Baduk of all the things? And then in the end, like in these 8 episodes that we watched, there was no real connection anyways. Like, they could have just met on the street, or she could have just met him as the teacher, as the homeroom teacher of the daughter, right?
Yeah.
She didn't have to go through
trouble,
all that
you mean.
Baduk learning.
I guess, yeah.
So I don't know. I think her way of thinking is very complicated in some ways. It's not so like straightforward. I want to take some quick revenge or something.
No, it's very like thought through. I mean, I personally think
I will learn Baduk to approach this guy.
I first thought it's actually not bad, because, like, you know, maybe she'd done some research and she found out he's this very passionate Baduk player, whatever, and this is a way of how I can, like, approach him and maybe impress him or whatever. And then
I thought she was going to seduce him or something.
That,
but
in the beginning, I thought, oh, it's actually quite smart, because then he looked at her and was like, oh my God, I'm so impressed. Look at this mysterious woman who's like so good at this game that I am kind of obsessed with, blah, blah, blah. While my wife was like, no, you know, like, it's not interested in it at all. So I think that would have been like a very good strategy, but then it didn't make sense, because as soon as like it was revealed that she was the homeroom teacher, like it was all a bit unnecessary, and you were like,
and then it was all like, okay, they know that she approached them, you know, like the guy knew that she on purpose came to this Baduk party.
So I thought,
and I also don't understand, why did she reveal herself so early in the game?
Yeah,
you know,
the revenge game. Yeah.
She went to this school meeting, and then she told everyone, no, I'm coming for you, I'm back, you know. Like, this is so unnecessary. She could have just, like, surprised them.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe she wanted
the thrill or the challenge, or maybe she wanted the, I don't know, she wanted to, you know, look them in the eye and be like, oh my God, shit, we get revenge now. But yeah, I agree. It was a bit... In terms of, you know, if you like actually strategize for that long, like 18 years, and then it's all
if you want to make like efficient revenge, I wouldn't choose this kind of.
But I guess she is playing it in a smart way, as in that she doesn't want to incriminate herself in terms of, you know, just like kill them and then go to prison. Like, what she wants is.
Well, she killed the teacher already, right? Indirectly.
Well, yeah, but it was really the son who did it. So it's like it was not yeah, really her. No, but... you know.
Okay.
So she, I think she does do it. I think in a smart way that she won't necessarily go to prison directly. And also, I think she has more an interest in them being destroyed publicly. So I think the whole point is of like exposing Yeontin to the public,
exposing their drug addiction.
Yeah, and like just,
you know, like this.
And I think that's also where the Badok or the Go game comes in, because I think it's also like a metaphor for her revenge, the kind of like them talking about, oh, I like this game because it's, you know, like building territory and destroying the territory of your enemy. And I mean, that's really what she's doing with Yeonjin, right? She's like, she even says, I want her to be completely isolated with nobody left around her, like completely destroyed.
Yeah, actually, yeah, the goal is to isolate, right? To surround the enemy by the stone, with the stones. So, yeah, that's a good metaphor. Yeah, good idea. I haven't thought of.
Yeah, so I think maybe that's also why they brought the gore play in, just so they have like a nice.
And then we also have the opportunity that she meets this love interest, right? So that's also a good plot that he is a goal player himself and teaches her. But kind of their relationship is kind of awkward in the beginning and like very one-sided from his
he's like obsessed with her, like he loves her and she's not very nice to him, like, you know, she's quite cold and but I guess mysterious enough like to keep him. And he also seems to like struggle a lot with the death of his father, and he seems to have
we learned that very late in the
he seems
drama,
to have his
right?
like skeletons in the closet as well.
Schizophrenia or some kind of
Definitely like some trauma stuff going on there, and he's definitely like struggling as well.
He might also be kind of violent with knives because he has a big knife collection.
Yes.
Maybe he can be her
the knife collection
with knives.
Well, didn't she say she needs a headman in a sword dance? She doesn't need like a prince on a white horse.
Yeah, I didn't understand this thing completely. Like, I wanted to look it up, but I think the sword dance is some traditional dance by shamans. But I'm not so sure what this other role would be and what exactly the connection is. Yeah,
we will look it up before we talk about the second part in March. Bloody March, my God.
Yes.
Who knows if we're still alive by then? Maybe we'll all three will have broken out. Who knows? Bloody Netflix. Yeah. But but I think I do like his. I do. In the beginning, I wasn't sure about his character, but I do kind of like it. And then he kind of gets in on the revenge.
It's good that he understands her, like when she tells him the whole truth, and that he supports her in a way. Yeah, but we don't know how it will all fold out. But it seems that he is joining her with the revenge.
Yeah,
and
big time.
Maybe he was also trying to get his own revenge, right?
Oh, and that,
prisoner
definitely. Yeah. I think so. Yeah, so I think what is to be expected of the... What do you expect of the second part of the series? Like looking ahead.
Yeah, I guess... I mean, the father of the biological father of Yeren, is her name right? The daughter, right? the other bully. He will probably play a bigger role as like the antagonist rather than Yeojin herself. I'd say,
yeah,
because it seems like he has more resources as well that we don't know yet about. And that, I mean, he is probably very rich, but also he has some connections and with his family, and probably he will now start using them to try to isolate or like follow up with Dongun's revenge and protect the daughter.
Yeah. I mean, she's like, I think
basically... Because I thought he was the most evil looking. I mean, for Jaehyun. Me, I mean, you're right. I mean, the main antagonist is... yeah, but for me, he looked more like the antagonist. Yeah, Yeonjin, not Yeonjin for me. It seems that he will play a bigger role. Yeah.
I mean, that's what I'm expecting. Yeah, I mean, in terms of like the badness of the bullies, I think, I mean, obviously, like they're all like terrible. I think like the most evil person is Yeonjin, who's like in the center of her revenge plan. But then I do also think that the next person just behind her is Jaehyun, that she has this secret baby with, and that she pretends that is not his baby, blah blah blah. And then the other ones seem more like, you know, like they were facilitating it, but they weren't like the head behind it. They were like the muscle behind her.
Right. I mean, I think the husband might also kind of switch sides quickly now, because I mean, it was the end of the drama when they met, but it seemed that he was more drawn to the explanation that Dongwin gave him about the whole bullying, and I'm not sure if he will really support his wife.
No, I think
more.
Yeah.
So I'm expecting that the biological father will then step in and kind of take over this protector role or something like that.
Yeah, I think.
Yeah, even though he's not the main antagonist.
Yeah. Well, it will be interesting how it will be played.
It would be.
I
think we also could talk a little bit about this, like, women empowerment kind of problematic, but in a reversed way. I mean, women bullies. What do you think about that? Maybe shortly. I mean, because I think in the other dramas, it has always mostly have been... the bullies have been men, but here the main, you know, person behind everything is a woman, and the targets are also women, but you know, I mean,
yeah, so kind of female violence being portrayed and stuff.
Yeah,
I mean, it
yeah.
is also quite, I think, like, quite an interesting choice using a curling iron to like as the main weapon, which is also quite a girly thing.
Oh yes. Like, or like iron.
Or like,
an
iron. Yeah, like for clothing, iron.
Mm.
Just like really like brutal. I really couldn't watch those scenes. Like I really had to skip them. But yeah, I guess in terms of, yeah. No, I wonder if it's, I guess it is progressive to kind of maybe, you know, like portray female violence, because obviously like women always portrayed as like, you know, it's the motherly sense in women, they won't be violent, la di da di da. So I do love a female villain,
you know, because also the mother is very evil. She's not very motherly. I mean, she bends her for money, and then these features are quite interesting for a K-drama, I think, because it has kind of reversed some traditional roles that have been... I mean, that's maybe common in some of the crime action dramas, and some, like Mine or Your Name or the ones you were mentioning. But
No, I do...
it seemed interesting, I was more used to...
No, I think it's very true. It's a very good point. And that's the one thing that I'm not sure about the consistencies of Yeonjin's character, is that when she becomes a mother, that she's actually quite caring towards her daughter. While her own mother...
And she's also a bit subordinate to the husband, I feel like. Because she says that she loves him, and she also always kind of asks him for favors, something like, can you help me getting this advertisement gig or something like that, you know?
But, yeah.
And
but really, she's also...
It doesn't seem like she is the main protagonist in the household, at least.
But then she is majorly playing him by pretending that the child is his child, when actually it's not his child.
Yeah, of course. We don't know that, but yeah, that's true.
So I think also like that is also like one major trump that Dong-un has in her hand, that, you know, she can reveal to the husband at any point that his daughter is not his daughter.
The biological father might just reveal it.
Well, that as well.
She suddenly develops very strong feelings for
instantly,
the
yeah.
child, even though he doesn't like, know. But suddenly...
Yeah. But he really seems to have, like, or used to have, like, feelings for Yeon-jin, and they seem to have been a couple before and so on. But I guess the daughter thing then just, like, breaks the straw that breaks the camel's back. In that sense, when he finds that out. Mm. And then obviously she also has the same color blindness that he has. And so maybe he has stronger feelings.
He already said that to the husband, right? I think he already kind of implied it to.
Yeah.
And the husband might already know.
Or he might have suspicions or something.
As
yeah.
Well.
Mm. Yeah, it'll be interesting.
Because he saw him coming there to the school event.
I mean, like, if I had to.
I mean, what I just wanted to add, like, it seemed that though everyone was sleeping with everyone because also Haejeong was sleeping with this bully guy and also with his subordinate as well, it seemed, right? We don't know about it yet, but she knew the password to his door. And and then also before... she got married, they were also when she was pregnant.
They all seem to be quite, you know, like they're all portrayed like very morally corrupt and like all seem to have like all seem to struggle a lot and are very unhappy people, seems to me. But maybe revenge of itself. But what I wanted to say was just like, if I had to predict what's going to happen in part two of the series, I think I'm expecting, I'm going to predict that the father, so the husband of Yeon-jin, will turn against her but try and protect the daughter and like take her, so then there will be a show off between Jae-jun, the biological father, and the non-biological father around the child while everyone will ditch Yeon-jin, and then somehow it will be exposed that Yeon-jin was. So I think in the end, you know, it will be like a positive outcome.
Yeon-jin will really be
destroyed
kind
and
of isolated.
I do think
right?
that will happen. But then
probably
there will be some
could
major.
Be. But she still has a lot of, you know, she still has the family and she has still have all these background
it's
people,
true.
The policeman and everything. I mean, if she really wants to destroy her, then she also has to take care of their wealth and their whole, you know, socioeconomic background.
And I think she will, like, probably end up doing, like, there must be, like, some major sacrifice at some point. Somebody will probably die, you know, and then she'll get very upset.
Ah,
you know.
Maybe the emo, or maybe, one of
And
the
also,
helpers.
In the end, we see, I mean, the part one ends with Yeon-jin, like, goes into her apartment, like, the lair, with all the pictures and so on. So she sees the revenge plan.
But I don't think that's a big problem. Mm. I think, she already moved to the surgeon's house, right? It seemed like that. Yeah, we will
but anyways,
that.
I think Yeon-jin will basically
actually
strike
that's
back.
Also an interesting.
Like there will be some sort of collateral damage.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, of course she wouldn't. She wouldn't before the ship is sinking. Mm. You know, she will be
take a few people down with her. But yeah, so I look forward to the second part.
I mean, it's interesting. We never had this in our podcast to make any predictions, but I like it. I mean, it's interesting.
It's true.
Probably it will all be different, but
wow, we can bet. Are you gonna? So
in another podcast I'm watching, they always I'm following another podcast, and they always have a prediction session at the end.
Oh, very good.
not for dramas, but for like society issues and stuff.
Okay, that's more sinister. but yeah, so what are you predicting is going to happen? Okay, I'm going to bet that Dong-un will get together with the plastic surgery guy, and but then
okay, but I think that's kind of obvious. So.
Well,
I can't bet against.
I guess okay. Well, you can bet that, and I bet against you. Then it's interesting. Okay, I bet they okay. won't be able to get together because he gets killed first or something.
No, I don't think so. That's very unlikely. It's still a K-drama. Sally, you have to.
But somebody will die.
Keep in mind, there cannot be too much violence. There has to be a happy end.
Does it, though? Because in My Name, for example, like, her love interest gets killed, die right in the end, and that was very, very upsetting. It was very sad. I got very upset about that, but also just because it was like one of my favorite actors, namely An Bo Hyun. He's quite hot. I like him, and he was he was like the main love interest, and he gets killed in the end. Was like, oh my god. And there was also a sex scene in that drama, which was like quite, oh my god, there's a sex scene. Quite explicit.
In this one too, though, when they were cheating, right? And on
yeah,
that
that's like
that was also a bit
Netflix influence. Definitely.
But we had that in a few Netflix dramas now, right? And Business Proposal as well, and some of the
like raunchy scenes in there. They are usually up for imagination for the K-drama viewer. Mm. But, oh well, here we go. No, I mean, I don't mind them. all right.
Well, a bit more passionate kissing, at least.
Yeah. That's true. But, so we will be talking about this again in March. You can look forward to it. We are definitely looking
sounds good, actually.
Yeah, we'll
yeah.
definitely be looking forward to watching the second part, Netflix. Anything else to add, Max?
That's it. No, I think that's it. Oh, maybe any favorite scenes? I'm just reminded of our category.
Okay, quick favorite scene thing. I think one of my favorite scenes, actually, was basically when the helper woman and Dong-un are kind of bonding a little bit with like writing secret messages. And then I really like the helper woman because, you know, she's like this, you know, not like I'm in quotation marks, like oppressed female who's like beaten up by her husband, like having a really tough life. And then she finds this thing that she's really good at and she, you know, she's really passionate about it. Yeah. And she's like, oh my God, like in my other life, I'm actually really good at that. And like, and I really like that. I really like her character and like just that development. I'm just cheering her on. I'm like, yes, you go, girl. And she says, yeah, if I get born again, I want to be a private investigator. I'm like, just be a private investigator. Yeah,
do it now. Like, that's what she said. Exactly. Said, right? Yeah.
So I hope that comes
true.
Yeah,
so you had your female solidarity.
I'm a sucker for that, you know that. What's your favorite scene?
Well, for me, it was definitely the first murder scene, and I hope there will be more murder being shot in this drama.
Oh wow!
Because I really liked how the I mean this teacher was evil, and then the thing with the watch, you know, he took off the watch, gave it to his son, so all these symbolic things, and then when the father was lying on the ground, he took off the watch and was like, no, you can keep it. I mean, these days I'm working on some Confucian philosophical thing again, and you know the main feature in Confucianism is this filial piety, being loyal to your parents, being subordinate to your parents, do what your parents want. And in this situation that he acts this very self-interest and only looking for his own career.
That is very true.
It was a very good scene, with the flowers.
It's actually quite true. That was actually a really good scene, I think. Because also, I did not expect it of the son. I think it was quite an interesting plot twist that it was that the son was like, that she actually managed to recruit the son and killing his own father.
I also thought she gave him some kind of drugs or something like that.
Yeah, I thought,
but then actually the son didn't help.
Yeah, so I thought that was kind of, and I think, I think if I had to give it like a title, would be like Karma's a Bitch kind of thing. Because, like, you know, if you're being a dick, then, you know, that's kind of what happens to you. So I that is true. That was actually quite a good scene. And I think it was also like a good kind of preview.
Way of murdering them.
I think it was a good preview of what probably will happen in season two. Like, her style of revenge is quite indirect, but hits you hard kind of thing. I agree.
Because he was so proud of his son, and she was saying to in the past, right? Saying to the daughter, to Tongin, he said, "Don't ever take the name of my son in your mouth, you dirty
actually,
person and stuff." And then she actually befriended him, and she betrayed him through the son. So that was a pretty cool.
Whenever. You know,
reverse Confucianism.
Yeah, I love that. Reverse Confucianism. It should be a new category in our drama. In our podcast. And it's very good. Yeah, I think whenever I hear the phrase, take the name of la 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 out of your mouth, it always reminds me of Will Smith and him slapping Chris Rock on the stage of the Oscar.
Ah, yes.
Take your name out of your mouth. I absolutely agree, because I mean, I think that was even like her talking or mentioning his son was actually what triggered him to beat her up as a student when he slapped her in front of all the teachers.
For some reason, it should have been the opposite. Like, it should have been, oh, I also have a son. He could also be in this kind of situation. Yeah. Maybe
that's why she mentioned the son, right?
Completely. Yeah.
But not with this man. Well, he's dead now, so. That's good. What happens. Bloody hell. What a drama. But yeah. Any other additions? No? Okay.
No, I think we are kind of over time frame. Yeah. We were planning to.
We thought it was like a 30-minute quick thing, but there you go. 50 minutes again. But yeah, so see everyone in March. Stay tuned. Oh my god, this is already the end of our episode. We hope you enjoyed it. If so, please leave us a comment or write us on Facebook or Twitter, or via our email address, kdramafeuilleton@gmail.com. We are always happy to hear from our listeners, so from you, basically, be it suggestions of dramas to review, or critique, of course, praise, or just wanting to say hello and have a chat about the latest goss that's going on in K-drama world. We always, always appreciate your time and opinions. Now go back to watching your dramas, stay critical, as always, and we cannot wait to see you for our next episode. Goodbye, annyeong!